book of Jeremiah, chapter number 20. Chapter number 20 is where I'd like to read from in verse number 7. Thank you for your giving. May the Lord richly bless you for that. I've been in recovery mode this week. I've got to leave after this service and head down and preach a meeting in southern Alabama. But this time last week, I was in Argentina. And I'll talk more about that later. But me and another brother from South Georgia and brother Jimmy John Milliken was down there the last 2 weeks in Paraguay and Argentina. And God done great things there. But those of you that's traveled around the world, and one thing I love about this church, thank you for being a missions-minded church. Thank you for being a missions-minded church. Listen, I have preached in a lot of places, been doing this really all my life. But this church right here at London, people have asked me before in preaching, well, how do we get a missions program going? I said, talk to Brother Vernon Jarvis. Talk to Brother Jarvis. See, you've got to instill that in your congregation, instill that into your people, and you people have accomplished that here and continuing to do so, and I give you honor for that. But in doing missions work, it wears you out. It wears you out. You travel 6,000 miles in an airplane. I hate every second of it. I don't like, listen, they make those airplane seats for like 5-foot-tall Japanese people, not 6-foot-4 Americans. It's not made for us. But still with that lingering, you know, just recovering, takes several days to recover from those big journeys, but I'm glad to be recovering here at London this morning. Jeremiah chapter number 7, or 20, Jeremiah chapter 20 and verse number 7. O Lord, thou hast deceived me, and I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I, and hast prevailed. I am in derision daily. Everyone mocketh me. For since I spake, I cried out. I cried violence and spoil, because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me and a derision daily. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. Father, I thank you this morning for this congregation. I thank you for this wonderful people here on this homecoming Sunday. I ask, Lord, that the anointing of the Holy Ghost would fall upon me. And Lord, let you receive all the glory in this altar today. In the name of Jesus, we ask it. And everyone says, amen. And amen. I want to talk to us this morning on it got in my bones. It got in my bones. 8 centuries before Christ would come to earth, it was midnight in Judah. Israel has been guilty of committing 2 evils. The first evil is they have forsaken the fountain of living water. The second is they have hewn themselves out cisterns that will hold no water. Whenever sin begins, it never just ends with one sin. It always perpetuates into another sin. Sin had gripped hold of the land of Israel and Judah in particular. It was midnight. It was dark in that society as Israel was reaching for a drink of water that was not there. As Israel was trying things that they had no business dabbling in. It was in that midnight hour in Israel that God said, Jeremiah, put on your preaching clothes, shine your shoes, get your parchments ready. I'm going to send you to preach in this kind of darkness. It was the great preacher Gardner Taylor years ago, whenever electricity first came out. He was preaching in the deep south in the state of Louisiana, if I have it correct. Gardner Taylor said there was one light bulb above the pulpit of that church. And there was a storm that began to blow outside and the light began to flicker off and on until finally it went totally off. He said, I was a young minister and was jarred by that and stopped preaching, did not know what to do. When I heard an old man shout from the back and said, preach on, preacher. We can still hear Jesus through the dark. That's the way I feel about this hour that we're living in right now. That darkness is overwhelming us. And like Jeremiah would find, it is the midnight hour in our world. I tell you, it's the midnight hour in our public schools. It's the midnight hour on our college campuses. Whenever people that are expressing their views cannot do so freely and get a bullet in the neck, I tell you, it's a dark, dark world of sin that is surrounding us. It's a dark world of sin that is possessing the minds of our youth, that steals hope from them, that takes their future away from their eyes, to where they feel despondent, discouraged, that they have no hope. But it is in this midnight hour, thank God, that God still has a message. In the midnight hour that we're in, hear ye the word of the Lord. As Jeremiah puts his prophetic garments on, as he puts his preaching clothes on, to be the messenger in the midnight hour, Jeremiah begins this relationship with God. And this puzzles me. God says, Jeremiah, before you were in the belly, I knew thee and I formed thee. And I knew what you were going to do. And I ordained thee to be a prophet. And I am going to cause you to root out. I'm going to cause you to pluck up. I'm going to cause you to plant. I'm going to cause you to tear down. And I'm going to cause you to build up. And Jeremiah says, then the hand of the Lord touched my mouth. How many this morning would say, I would like for the hand of the Lord to touch my lips? We've been speaking too much of our own words and our own ideas and our own agenda. But I think we're in a generation of people right now that is desperate for a word from the Lord. We need the hand of God to touch our mouths one more time. Jeremiah is touched by the hand of God. God places his words inside of Jeremiah. Jeremiah says, Lord, I am just a child. I'm not able to do this. But God says, Jeremiah, I've put my words inside of you, and the only words you can speak is the words that I give you. Tell my people I know the thoughts that I think towards them. Thoughts of good and not of evil. You see, Jeremiah was the one that had to try to stay positive in a negative nation. For the next 40 years, Jeremiah would be the one that would cry against the sins of Judah. He would be the one to speak against the sins of the darkness that surrounded them. And it looked like things were hopeless, because really this man, Jeremiah, he had no house that he lived in. It was oftentimes a dungeon or a jail cell locked in solitary confinement. Jeremiah, his garments was often tattered because he received lashes upon his back. And it looked like that Israel was scattered all around. Have you felt this way before when it comes to church, that it feels like, where's God at? Where's the reviving at? Where's the awakening at? Where's the refreshing at? This one's scattered over here, and this one's thrown out over here. But then God says, Jeremiah, come with me to the outskirts of the city. They go to the outskirts of the city where the trash dump was and where the garbage heap was. And there, tattered shards of what was thrown away and discontinued and thrown on the sidelines. God says, Jeremiah, look into that house. Go to the potter's house. And I will see that you see I can work things and bring things together again. I want you to know this morning that things are dark around us. And yes, things are broken. And yes, it looks like that it's a trash heap of sin that is controlling our society. But I want you to know the hands of the potter can make things whole again. Anybody here can testify to the fact you have felt the hands of the potter that has formed things in your life that you never thought could be healed, you never thought could be made new again. Jeremiah says, I've seen the hands of the potter go to work, and I must tell Israel, as I have watched the hands of the potter form the clay and make something new again, thus saith the Lord, he can make things new again in Israel. Well, I feel like preaching a little bit this morning. God can make things new in London, Kentucky again. God can make things new right here at this First Pentecostal Church with over 118 years of wonderful history. God says, I'm ready to make things new again. Jeremiah tells the people the word of the Lord. But really, when we assess Jeremiah and we look at his report card, we would have to conclude Jeremiah's ministry is a failure. Nobody wanted to listen to him. Everyone mocked him. As a matter of fact, from our text this morning in verse number 7, O Lord, thou hast deceived me, and I was deceived. Jeremiah is saying, Lord, it's a setup from the get-up. You've deceived me. You tricked me into this. You see, the worst part about this was Jeremiah said, nobody's listening to me. Nobody wants a preacher. Nobody wants to hear the word of the Lord that I'm giving them. As a matter of fact, at one point in Jeremiah's ministry, they threw him in prison because they didn't like the word of the Lord. The king goes down there and says, have you got a word from the Lord? And guess what it was? The same thing he got thrown in prison for the first time. How many's glad the word of God does not change? I said the word of the Lord, it does not change. Jeremiah says, nobody wants to listen to me. They know that I can't preach. And worse than that, I know I can't preach. That's a bad feeling. That's a bad combination. Jeremiah says, look, Lord, I am disqualified because I cannot speak. I can't talk right. I don't have the oratorial abilities. I don't have the skills necessary to perform this duty that you need me to perform. I'm not able to do it, Lord. I'm disqualified from this calling you've placed on my life. And then he says, Lord, I'm ineligible. I am but a child. I'm not going to work because I'm just a child. But isn't it amazing how God can take our weaknesses, and out of our weaknesses come his strength? You might be here this morning and say, Lord, I have minor skills for this major assignment. But through the power of the Holy Ghost, you have all the skills necessary to complete what God has for you in your future. I have never been one, and I'm glad to see you this morning, Brother Joseph. I've known these Baker guys all my life, known them all my life. It's amazing them Bakers, they get up there in southern Indiana and they find their way back close to Bell County where they all originated at. All of them from around Pineville. Know right where they're from. These guys can build anything. Gilpin boys around here, you guys can build anything. You give me a box to build, I couldn't build it if you gave me the instructions. I'm not wired that way. I mean, you can give me a history lesson, I can recite it. You give me something nerdy or dorky to study on, I'm your guy. But I couldn't build anything. I'm not going to get into this morning, all the details that is involved with this, but Brother Burkett took me to Brazil. It's been about 12 years ago. I made 11, 13 trips, something like that, down in Brazil, South America. Tremendous revival. Brazilian Assemblies has 30 plus million people alone in their churches, very strong churches, very large churches, and was thankful to get to go. But through some difficulties 2 years ago, the Lord has temporarily shut that door, not able to go back right now. But where one door closes, guess what? God always opens another door. Always does. And so by way of preaching in Brazil and preaching up through New England and here in the States, there's some Spanish people that's Brazil's next door neighbor over in Paraguay and Argentina. And they contacted me. We want you to come and preach to us here in Paraguay and Argentina. And so last December, I took my first trip down there. And they're wonderful people. They're not as organized and not as large or flashy as the Brazilian churches are, but they're wonderful people of God nevertheless. Went down there and was preaching in the border city right next to the Argentine, Paraguayan, and Brazilian border. From my hotel room, I could look out and I could see Brazil, a place I can't go to right now. We'll talk about it after church if you want to. But I can't go there right now. But I could look out my hotel room and I could see Brazil every day. I was sitting on this side of Paraguay. Went to preach one night. It was a wonderful, wonderful service. One of the most powerful meetings I was ever in. Lasted over 6 hours. 1,000 people had gathered inside of that building that was still under construction. It had a roof over the top of it. It would remind you of something like a watermelon shed. The sides were open. The back was open. But God moved such a great way that night. We seen healings. We seen miracles. We seen over 30 people come to the Lord and get saved. Seen God do a great work there in that church. Jumped the border and went down and preached in Argentina. Wonderful conference there. And one of the good brothers was starting his construction project on his new church as well. We're not talking about some little shanty of a building with 40 or 50 people. I'm talking about churches that's got 800, 1,500 members in it. Preached there in Argentina, and God done great things there. That was in December. I came back home and was reminiscing over the year and going from 1 year to another. You know how we do. We reminisce on things that we've went through and our goals for the new year that's coming up. And I began to look through my calendar and thought, boy, I went here, went there. How did I get to all these places? And I got to thinking about that church over in Paraguay. And God spoke to me and said, David, I want you to build that church. I said, wait a minute, Lord. Can you go talk to Joe Baker? Can you talk to one of them Gilpin guys around London? I can't build nothing. Talk to Brother Ken Taylor. He can build anything. God said, I want you to build that church. I thought to myself, well, let me figure some things out. I thought about taking a group of guys down there to finish building that building for them in Paraguay. But that wasn't going to work. It wouldn't be cost effective to take all those tools and materials and such down there. And so I said, well, I know what I'll do. I never have backed down from asking people for money. I'll beg for some money. I never started a GoFundMe page. Nothing wrong with that. Never made a big push for it on social media. Nothing like that at all. Just preaching in normal revival meetings, small churches, things of that nature. Glad to see Sister Anita Morris and Sister Helen back there, preached in their church many times. They've helped us there in that work as well. Just mention it to people building a church in Paraguay. Anything you can do will help. They needed $50,000 to finish that building off. Listen how God works. Needed $50,000 to finish that building off. Within the first 2 weeks of January, God had sent over $25,000 in for that building. Preaching in small churches. $500 here, $700 here, $50 here, putting it all in the work of God. I was preaching in a small rural community way up north in a farming community, and just mentioned it in passing one night in revival service. And the pastor said, next Sunday we are going to give all the money that comes in the pan back there in the back. We're going to give it all to that mission work, that building in Paraguay. Now, they don't do like we do around here at London, where we take the pan around and hold it there until something comes out. They put the box in the back and hope in good faith people give. It's a dangerous thing. Don't try it around. Don't try it. Don't try it. So we're going to put the box in the back, see how much money we get. We'll send it to you. I thought to myself, it's not a large church, you know, might get $1,000. You know how we begin to limit God, and when we limit God, we get into trouble, don't we? You know what Jeremiah was doing in this scripture? He was limiting what God was going to do. That pastor called me on that next Monday and he said, brother, you want the good news or the bad news first? I said, give me the bad news. And Brother Charlie, he said, bad news is we had 17 this Sunday. I said, boy, I'm sorry to hear that. He said, you want the good news? I said, well, yeah, what's the good news? He said, good news is there was over $15,000 that came in that box. Listen how God works. A man that's not even saved is a Roman Catholic man. Gave me a check for $5,000. I was preaching. I came within $10,000 of getting this project done at the end of March. I was preaching in Choctaw County, Alabama, one of the poorest counties in the state of Alabama and in the United States alone. And it just mentioned it in passing. We're doing this project. Anything you can help with, it'd be greatly appreciated. Pastor jumped up on an impulse of the Holy Ghost. He said, God moved on me. Get the pans right now and pass them around. $11,000 came in that offering. $51,000 came in 3 months' time. Now listen how God works. I was getting ready, and special thanks that they're listening this morning. Brother Gene Calicott's old church in Richmond, Indiana, helped us to funnel money through their 501c3 so people can get tax deductions. And I need to work on that, Brother Jarvis. We got to talk about that. I got to get one for myself so I ain't got to bum off everybody else. But special thanks to them for helping me in that. We was getting ready to send the money down there, and I got tied up doing some other things, wasn't able to be up there to send it or to direct to send it. And lo and behold, President Trump comes out that first week of April. And so help me, I think this guy dreams about this word. I think when he closes his eyes, he just sees that word, tariff. 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 President Trump comes out with those sweeping new tariffs all across the globe. $7.5 trillion is lost immediately in the stock market. Things plunge. Chaos erupts around the financial markets around the world. I thought to myself, oh no, this is not good. Brothers from down in South America called me from Paraguay, and they said, Pastor David, don't get alarmed. I'm not a pastor. That's just the word they use for preacher. Preacher David. Preacher David, we got to talk to you about this building. I thought to myself, oh man, it's going to go way up in cost. I've got to raise another $50,000 for them now. Listen, now God works. God's using Donald Trump, and Donald don't even know it. Don't even know it. They said, I guess you know your president has slapped tariffs on all of us around the world. And because those tariffs have been slapped on us, there's a whole lot less buyers up there in the United States for our materials and our goods, and there's a whole lot more supply down here in South America. The cost of this building has decreased by almost 50%. Me and Brother Jimmy John Milliken dedicated that building 2 Sundays ago. Miracle number one. You ready for miracle number two? Over in Argentina, boy, I feel the Lord here helping me this morning. Over in Argentina, that brother that had started construction on his new building, I said, brother, look, I got some money left over from a project up there in Paraguay. Can you use it? How much more do you need? He said, well, it'd be about $25,000 to put the roof on there, and I should be good to go. Sent him the $25,000, put the roof on it a month ago, and this time last Sunday, dedicated a second building to the glory of God. I tell you what it is. It's the power of God that gives us the ability. It gives Jeremiah his fuel. It'll energize the church. God will always make sure that his church goes forward and his message is preached. He will always make sure. Minor skills, Jeremiah says. Big assignment. You got the wrong guy, God. And Jeremiah gets so low in his life and in his ministry that he says, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Nobody wants to listen to me anymore. Nobody wants to hear me preach anymore. We're not building any churches. He preaches for 40 years, has no converts. I would get upset about things too. Nothing's moving. Nothing's happening. He said, I tell you what I'm going to do. Lord, you've deceived me because you're bigger than me. You're stronger than I am. I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm not going to speak in your name anymore. Now, if you're here this morning, you have the ability to quit on God at any time you well please. I don't recommend it. It's the worst thing you could ever do, is give up at this stage in the race of your life. Let me tell you, living for God, the worst day living for God is better than the best day serving sin. You can quit on God at any time you want. Jeremiah says, I'm turning in my preacher card. I'm taking off the garments of a priest. Nobody wants to hear me anymore. I give up, Lord. I quit. There's one problem. Jeremiah, you might quit on God,
But God don't quit on Jeremiah. I said, God doesn't quit on Jeremiah. God doesn't quit on anybody in this building this morning. You might have wandered in here because it's homecoming Sunday. You're ready to eat the food, and so am I. You might have wandered in here today and say, I've given up on God a long time ago. I just came to see everybody, eat the food, shake a few hands, and go home. But God says, oh no, I haven't quit on you. I've not given up on you. My mercies are new every morning. My grace is still sufficient. I can still reach. I can still pull up. I can still get a hold of you wherever you are, because God doesn't quit on us. God doesn't quit on us. And God didn't quit on Jeremiah. And Jeremiah says, Lord, all right, I'm going to quit on you. You won't give up on me. That's bad enough. But I know what I'm going to do next. I will not make mention of your name anymore. Forget it. Have you ever said that before to God? God, I don't just quit, but forget it. I'm going to forget about you, Lord. But Jeremiah, how in the world are you going to forget scriptures like, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want? How are shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. How are you going to forget scriptures like, I will go with you always, even until the end of the world? How are you going to forget scriptures like, when my mother and my father forsake me, the Lord will take me up again? Let me tell you, you can't forget about God. I said, you can't forget about God. It'll trail you down like a bloodhound on a trail. God, you can't forget about Him. You can't forget about Him this morning. That's why you're in this building, because you can't forget about God. And this is what I want to preach to the church. And I got to wind this down to a close. Jeremiah says, Lord, I failed at all these things because you deceived me. You crooked me into this, Lord. You told me one thing, and it ain't turned out to be that way. I don't know what I'm going to do now. I give up on you, Lord. And Jeremiah says, I can't quit on God. I can't forget about God, because His word was in mine heart. You see, you've got the word that's been spoken into your mouth. You've got the word that's been spoken into your mouth. But I want you to know, that word just doesn't just become words that we speak out in our language, but it gets inside of the crevices of our heart. And Jeremiah says, His word is in mine heart like a burning fire shut up in my bones. Somewhere in the bones of this church at London, there's still fire in the bones of this place. Well, I feel like preaching this morning. I'm telling you, you've went through a lot of valleys. You've climbed a lot of mountains. You've been through dark nights. And you might be in one right now. But I've come with a message from the mouth of God to say, there's still fire in the bones of this church. There's fire in the bones of this church, because London still needs a church that's got the fire inside of it. It disgusts me to read of the things that's been happening around here in local politics and in our state alone. It bothers me. I think to myself, boy, if Brother Huff was alive, if Uncle Gene was still there, he might have been the senator from Laurel, but he was the high sheriff around London in his own not gun-carrying way without having a badge on. If Uncle Gene was alive, sir, let me tell you, the workman might die, but the work has got to go on. Because in the bones of this church that God raised up right here on Main Street in London, God said it was founded upon my word. And inside of the bones, the structure that gives man his anatomy, Jeremiah says, I can't quit because there's fire that's burning inside of my bones. So I think what we need to do on this Sunday morning, if we're going to sing, let's set it on fire. If we're going to teach, let's set it on fire. If we're going to preach, let's set it on fire. If we're going to give, let's set it on fire. I say, God, set it on fire, Lord. Set it on fire, Lord. Set it on fire, Lord. Stand with me right now. Lift your hands all over this house. Lord, let the fire in the bones of this church rise up in the bones of these that are congregations. These congregants here at this church, Lord. Let the fire of the Holy Ghost. Lift your hands right now. Ask God to have His way in this house. Boy, I feel the Lord here this morning. It got in His bones. And that's why we're still here. Brother Charlie Bowman, that's why we're still here. Because it's in our bones. Brother Jarvis is still here because it's just in his bones. I'm so glad to see Aunt Ethel here this morning. My grandma, her sister, I was over there at the house yesterday. You know, she was complaining about. Now, those Dayberry girls, they know how to complain. But Grandma, yesterday, David, my bones are aching. I'm aching all the way to my bones. I thought to myself, Lord, when I get down there to London tomorrow morning, let there be an aching from our bones that says, there's still fire in this house. There's still fire in our bones on homecoming Sunday. There's still fire of revival that God is getting ready to pour out again in the city of London. Oh, we praise Thee, O God, for the Son of Thy love, for Jesus who died and has now gone above. Hallelujah, Thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, Thine the glory. Revive us. Come on, let's sing it together. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Revive every family that's represented here in this house this morning, Lord. Revive every struggling saint that is in this building that feels like there's aching in their bones, that they can't get up, they can't move. I ask God right now, let the fire of the Holy Ghost get a hold of their spiritual man. And like Jeremiah would say, something got in my bones. I can't quit now, and I can't give up now, and I can't forget what God has done. He's brought us from 118 years. This is still the work of God, and there's still fire in our bones. Well, I feel the Lord here right now. As Sister Marcia sings another chorus of this, I want us to make an altar this morning. I want us to come around. If you're unsaved in this building, you're the most important person that's here. I want you to know the religion that your grandmother had and your grandfather had and your parents had. It's a religion that God wants you to have right now. Old time religion still works. And fire in the bones still works. Glad to see Jeremy Morris over here today. Prayed a lot for you, my man. Your Uncle Lee prayed a lot for you. Your mom back there, your grandma prayed a lot for you. King Mountain prayed a lot for you. Didn't know where Jeremy was. Hadn't seen him in a long time. Down at Fire Conference a few months ago. Him and his brothers over there gathered together. Jeremy jumping up and down. Fire in his bones. We got to rediscover this morning, church. Come on right now. Let's fall in this altar. Let's fall in this altar. Lord, revive us again. Let's fall in this altar this morning. Lord, revive us again. Fire in the bones of this church. Fire in the house of the Lord again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God, let the